Shalom to all. Today's daf is Bava Daf Mem Beis, and we are starting right at the top of the Amud with a brand new Mishnah. And today's daf is sponsored by Elu Nishmas Mars Merim Sarah Bas Rabbi Yaakov Maisha Her Neshama Should Have an Aliyah. And Elu Nishmas Mars Freida Chaya Bela Bas Yitzchak Tzvi Her Neshama Should Have an Aliyah. And the Mishnah says a Mafkid Maisa Yitzchak Chaveroi. Someone deposited money by his friend. So Reuven gave money to Shimon for safekeeping. Sarah and Shimon bundled them up with Shilin LaChayrov, and he threw them behind himself, like the classic picture of a guy walking along a dusty road with a pack on his back held up by a stick. Aishem Sarim LeBnai LeBita Ktanim, or he gave the money to his son or daughter who were ktanim under bar bas mitzvah, v'nobuf name shalai karai, and he closed the door behind them improperly. According to some, this is a totally separate case where he took the money and he put it somewhere and he just didn't close the door properly. In all these cases, if something happened to the money, chayiv he's chayiv, shalai shemir kedar chashayimim, because he didn't watch it like a regular watchman should, and that's even if he's a shemir chinam. However, v'mshimir kedar chashayimim, pater. If he did watch it like regular and something happened, so he's pater. The Gemara begins by asking, b'shalim akulu, we understand the other cases in the Mishnah, shalai shemir kedar chashayimim, he didn't guard them properly. He gave the money to his kids who were ketanim, for example. That's not guarding it properly, so he's chayev. Ella, what about the first case? Tzarim v'shin l'chayrov, he bundled them up and he put him behind him. My havel l'meved, what do you want him to do? How else is he supposed to watch it? So Amarava, Amar v'yitzchak, Amar kra, the pasuk tells us, v'tzar ta'kesev v'yadcha, you shall bundle the money in your hand. And what do we learn from here? Alf b'shetzruin, even though they're bundled, you b'yadcha, they have to be in your hand, meaning they have to be within your reach so that you could see it, and not behind you. When it's behind you, you can't see it. Now, once we quote this pasuk and Rav Yitzchak says, lo'el mihei kaspesh adam matzu b'yadai, a person's money should always be in his hand, meaning it should always be available to him. Shemar kaz the pasuk says, "V'tzar ta'kesef biyadcha." And Amar Yitzchak says, "La'olam yashlish adam es ma'isav." A person should divide his money into thirds. Shlish bekarka, a third he should invest in real estate. Ushlish beparkmatia, and a third in merchandise. Ushlish tachas yadoy, and a third that's readily available to him. So if a business opportunity comes up suddenly, he'll have the money for it. And Amar Yitzchak also says, "Ein abrach matsuya el bedara hasamim in ayin." Baracha is only found in something which is hidden from the eye. Shemar kaz the pasuk says, "Yitzav Hashem itchas habracha ba'asamecha." Literally, this pasuk is translated as Hashem shall command the bracha to be with you ba'asamecha in your storage houses. However, the word asamecha is understood as the lashon of samui, something that's hidden. And Tanu Rabbi Shmuel, a bracha was taught by Rabbi Shmuel in a bracha mitzuyah b'davar she'in a'ayin shalatas by. Bracha is only found in something that the eye does not have power over, of that the eye can't see. Shem Rakhaz, the pasuk says itzav Hashem itchas habracha ba'asamecha. And over here, he's understanding the word asamecha to literally mean your hidden storage places. And something similar, Tanu Rabbanu, we have a bracha that says ha'alech lamed es garnoi. If a person is going to measure his granary, he's going to measure how much grain he has. Before he does so, Imer, he should say, that you should send bracha in the work of our hands. And his chalamud, once he starts measuring, Imer should say as follows, Baruch Hashaleach bracha b'kriyazeh. Blessed is the one who sent bracha into this pile. However, madat va'achach birech, if he measured and then he made the bracha, how is it tefillah shav? That's a wasted tefillah. L'fisha'ina bracha mitsuya, bracha is not found, le'bedavra shakel, not with something that's weighed, le'bedavra hamadud, not with something that's measured, le'bedavra manoy, not with something that's counted, el b'davar ha-samim in ayin, except for something which is covered over from the eye. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Yitzav Hashem itcha esabracha ba'asamecha. And Pashas, you should do the same before you check your bank account. You should say this tefillah, and afterwards, you should say the tefillah as well. Now going back to discuss the Mishnah, how a person is supposed to properly watch money. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Ksafim ein lahem shmira el b'karka. The only proper way to watch money is to bury it in the ground. And Amar Rava, Rava says, Umaydi Shmuel, Shmuel does agree, but Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashos, that if it's Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashos right before it gets dark, and you get a knock on your door, your neighbor's asking you, can you watch my money for me? The Rabbanon were not matriach l'shemer to dig a hole in the ground right then. However, if Matzu Shabbos came and the shemer waited the amount of time that he could have dug a hole and buried this money, but like Kavrinu and he didn't bury it and it got stolen or something happened, machayev, then the shemer is chayev. However, if the guy who owns the money, if he's a Talmud Chacham and the shemer didn't bury it, he wouldn't be chayev, because Savar, he could claim that he thought, perhaps the fellow's going to need this money right away for Avdallah, he's going to need to go buy wine because he's makbid to make Avdallah himself in a cup of wine and not hear from a neighbor, and in this case the shemer would be potter for not burying it. However, nowadays that we have geshushai, these are fellows who take these thin metal rods and they poke the ground with it to try to find money buried. So the only way to properly watch money is to put it under the beams of the house, meaning in the ceiling. However, nowadays we have people who break the ceilings looking for money. The only way to have proper shmira of money is in between the rows of bricks in the wall. However, Amarava says Shmuel agrees, but Kaisel, that if he puts it in the wall itself, not in between the rows of bricks, that that's okay. However, nowadays, the Shechichit Fuchai, that we have tappers, these people tap the walls for hollows to see where there's money hidden. The only proper shmira of money is in the wall. However, within a tefach near the ground, or within a tefach of where the wall meets the ceiling, and that's because even if you tap in that area, it doesn't sound very hollow, and that's the only proper way to store money. And getting to talk about this. Amar Rav Acha Braid Rav Yosef Rav Ashi Hasam Tanan over there. Maseches Pesachim. We learned in a Mishnah Chametz Shenafa all of Mapiles. If a wall fell down on Chametz, Hariu Kemavur, it's like it's been destroyed and ruined and taken away from the world. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says Kol She'en Akel V'Yachol Chapes Acharav. If a dog is not able to find this Chametz buried under the wall, so it's considered like it's Mavur, and you don't have to go searching for it. V'Tana was taught in a Braisa Kam Chafisas Akelev. How much is this Chafisas Akelev where the dog can't find it? Gimel Tvachim. That's if it's buried 3 Tvachim underneath this wall. So the question is Hachamai. What about over here when we're talking about burying money? Does a shomer have to bury this money 3 tefachim into the ground or not? So Amalei told him, over there, it's because of the scent of the chametz. We want to prevent the dog from smelling it and digging it up, so we need 3 tefachim. But over here, we just simply need to cover it from people's eyes. We need to hide it. So it doesn't need to be buried 3 tefachim. And the question is, Vakama, so how deep does the money have to be buried? He answers, tefach, it's just 1 tefach. Now we have a number of stories. There was a fellow, the Afkid Zuzi Gabichavre, he deposited money with his friend, Isvinu Betzrifa de Urvani. The fellow put it in a Tzrifa de Urvani, which is a hut made out of willow branches. This was like this small little round hut that bird trappers would lie in. And what happened? Ignov, it was stolen from there. So Amr Yosef says, Afagav del Inyan Ganve, Nitirusahi, even though in regards to Ganavim, this is watching it good, because this is not a place Ganavim would come to look. However, El Inyan Nurup, Shiusahi, in regards to fire, it's a Pshia, because this whole hut can light on fire very easily. And therefore, Havat Chilas Pshia Vesefa Ba'ines, this started out as a Pshia and it ended off as an Aynes, Chayev Yischayev. However, Ve'ikat Amri Samser, Rav Yosef said the other way around, that Af Agav Del Inyan Nurup Shiusahi, even though in regards to a fire being lit in this hut and the money getting ruined, the Shomer was a Peshaya, La'inyan Ganvi, in regards to it being stolen, Nitirusahi, it is properly guarded, Utchilas Pshia Vesefa Ba'ines, and even though it started out of Pshia, since it ended off in Aynes, he's Pater. However, Ve'helchasa, what's the halacha? Tchilas Pshia Vesefa Ba'ines, Chayev, so his fellow's Chayev. And another story, who governed there was a fellow, the Afkid Zuzigabi Chavre, he deposited money by his friend, then Amarle, he went to his friend and he said, Havali Zuzai, give me my money. Amarle, his friend told him, Lo yadana hechazvinu, I don't know where I put it. So as the Kamid Ravi came in front of Rava, Amarle told him, Kol lo yadana pshiusahi. Anyone that says, I don't know, so he's Pashea, he's negligent. Zil Shlem, you have to go and pay. And another story, who governed there was a fellow, the Afkid Zuzigabi Chavre, he deposited money with his friend, and Ashlaminu Leime, this friend, this Shomer, gave them to his mother to watch. Vaisvinu Bakartulisa, and she put them in her box, Ignovin, and were stolen from there. So Amar Rava, Rava said, how should judges judge this case? Name Alayla Diday Zil Shlim? Should we tell the Shomer himself that you have to pay? Amar, he katayna, call a mafkid. Anyone that deposits money with his friend, Aldas Ishtoyu Banavu Mafkid, he does so with the das, with the knowledge that the Shomer might give it to his wife or to his older children, meaning to one of his family members who are responsible, and therefore the Shomer was allowed to give the money to his mother. So name Alayla Ime, should we tell the mother of the Shomer, Zili Shlimi, so you have to go and pay? Amra, she could say, Loyamar Lee, my son didn't tell me, Dalav Diday Ninhu, that they're not his, Dag Barinhu, that I should know to bury them. I thought it was his money. And so Neymalay, should we go back and tell the Shomer, Amayloy Amrisla, why didn't you tell her that it wasn't your money and that it was somebody else's? Well, Amar, he'll say in response, Kol Shekein Techi Amina La Didininhu, Tfeimiz Darabahu. I figured that for sure if I tell her that it's mine, she's going to be extra careful with it. So who's Chayiv over here? Elamarava, rather, Rava says, Mishtaba Ihu, the Shomer himself swears, Dahanu Zuzi Ashlaminu Leime, that he actually gave this money over to his mother, Umishtaba Ime, and his mother swears, Dahanu Zuzi Asfinu Bakartalisa, Ignov, that she put this money in her box and that they were stolen. Upater and the Shomer's Pater. And another story. Hu apachapa di Yasmi. We have an apachapas of Yusaimim. He's the manager of the Yusaimim's estate. Dizavalahu Turul Yasmi. He bought an ox for the Yusaimim, Umasri Labakra, and he gave it over to a herdsman. This is a guy who watches other people's shvarim. And loy havu le kachi vashini lamechal. It didn't have back teeth and front teeth to eat, umis, and it died from starvation. So Rabbi Chama said, Hechen adainu daini lahaidina. How should judges judge such a case? Namely lapachapa zil shlim. Should we tell the apotropos that he has to go pay the Yisoyimim? Well, Omar, he'll claim, Anol Bakra Masarte. I gave it to the Bakra, I gave it to the herdsman. He had to watch my shards, his responsibility. So, namely, the Bakra Zil Shalim? Are you going to tell the Bakra that he has to pay? Omar, he's going to say, Anol Bahadi Turi Kimte. I put this ox with all the other ones. Ochel Shadoile, I threw food in front of it. Loi Havidina Deloi Achal. I didn't know that it wasn't eating. And this is technically a tana that he could make. So the Gemara says, hold on 1 second. Michti, let's see. Bakra Shemer Sacher the Yasmihu. The Bakra, he's a Shemer Sacher of the Yisoyimim. He's being paid to watch this cow. It really is on him to make sure that all the shvarim are doing okay and that they're all eating their lunch properly. And so the baka really should pay the yusaimim. The Gemara says, you're right. If the yusaimim actually lost out, then the baka would have to pay them. But v'hachmaiskin, what are we talking about over here? The lekapseid diyasmi. The yusaimim didn't lose anything out. Why is that? They found the original seller of this ox, and they already took their money from him. The Gemara asks, Elaman Katayin. So who's tining over here? If the Yisayim already got paid, who's claiming that they want money? Definitely not the Bakra, and definitely not the Apotropos. So answer, Mari de Tura Katayin. It's the original owner of the ox. He's the one making the taina. He wants his ox back, or pay him for it. And what's he tining? That they should have notified me that the ox that I sold him didn't have any teeth. As Gemara, my Dinalei, what are we telling him? May the Yada de Mekachtais Hava. He knows that it's a Mekachtais. He was the one that sold the ox, so he knows that it didn't have any teeth. What's that supposed to mean? That he's tining, I really want my ox back, you should have told me that my ox didn't have teeth. That seems very silly. And the answer is that no, Bisaf Sira, we're actually talking about a middleman. He's a broker. It wasn't his ox for a long time. He didn't know all the ins and outs about it. He buys from here and he sells there. He's a broker and he doesn't really know what's going on with this ox. So therefore, he actually does have a good taina. You should have told me that the ox didn't have teeth and I would have worked it out for you. But now it's dead and I already paid the yusaimim for the loss of their ox, so I want my money back. And therefore, Hilkach Mishtaba Ihu Dulayava Yada, the owner, this middleman, the guy that sold it, he swears that he didn't know that the ox didn't have teeth. And the bakra, the herdsman, the guy that was watching the ox, he has to pay the value of cheap meat. What does it mean, the value of cheap meat? So this is 2/3 of the regular value of an ox. And the reason why Rambam Bar Chama was a little bit easier with him is because of his taina that, look, I put the ox with all the other ones and I put food in front of it and it's not my fault that it didn't eat properly. Now, it's not a good enough taina to completely pater him, but at least it's good enough that Rambam Bar Chama was makel and he made a compromise that he only has to pay 2/3. And we'll ask case who gavred the afkid kashusa gabe chavre. There was a fellow who deposited hops by his friend, and hops are used to flavor beer. And havilele didei nami kari de kashusa. This shomer who was watching his friend's hops, he himself had a pile of hops. So amrali the sarsay, the shomer told his in-house beer brewer, that's what a sarsay is, the guy of his house that makes beer. May hi rami, I want you to take hops from this pile, pointing to his own pile. And ozal rami meidach, the in-house brewer took from the other pile of hops, the one that was deposited. So amravamram says, how she judges case. Namely, the day should we tell the Shomer Zil Shlim that he has to pay for the hops that were taken? Well, Amar, he could say, Ano Amri Le Mahai Rami, I told him to take from this pile, from my pile, and not from the other pile. So namely, the Sarsi Zil Shlim, should we tell the brewer that he has to pay for the hops that he took? Amar, he's going to say, Loi Amar Li Mehai Rami Umehai Loi Termi. He didn't tell me, take from this pile, and don't take from that pile. And therefore, when he told me to take from this pile, I just thought he was making a suggestion. And I smelled really good hops, and I followed the source of the scent, and I saw really good hops over there, so I used those. And the question is, who has to pay over here? However, the Gemara asks, what's the problem? If the Shomer waited for the man of time that it would have taken to bring him from his pile of hops, and the brewer still didn't come back with hops, so obviously it means that he walked to further back in the storage house where the deposited hops were, and that's where he took from. And since the Shomer didn't say anything, it must be that he realized that these are not his hops, and they're the deposited ones, and he was quiet about it, so he's the one that has to pay. So my answer is no, but Delay Shah, we're talking about that there was no time difference. It must be that these two piles of hops were right next to each other, the Shimers and the deposited ones. And so we can't blame the Shimer. But the Gemara continues asking, Saif, at the end of the day, might say the Ikka, what type of loss was there? Bottom line is, really tasty beer was made with this other guy's hops. So the Shimer, who's the owner of this beer, he has to pay for the use of the other guy's hops. Even though he wasn't the one that took them, his brewer did, still, he is the owner of the beer and he gained from the other guy's hops, so he has to pay for them. So we have two answers to this. We're talking about where the beer got totally ruined. It's spoiled. And therefore, the owner did not have benefit from the other guy's hops. And that's why he wouldn't have to pay. Whereas Rav Ashi says, Bikisi, we're talking about where the hops were thorny. They weren't very good hops, meaning the deposited ones, the ones that were used. And therefore, there wasn't so much gain. And so what has to be paid? Mem gimel alaf on top, umisham le dmei kisi. He only has to pay for those inferior hops that were used, meaning however much the beer did gain because of those inferior hops, that's how much he has to pay. Namely, if you have beer without hops, it costs $5. If you have beer with good hops, it costs $10. And beer with inferior hops is $7. So that $2 of gain has to be paid to the owner of those inferior hops, but not more than that. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with a new Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.